Now, the topic today, if there's one huge misconception about God, if there's a thing that really causes people to ask why, it's our topic today. It's the big idea. Grab your note sheet. It's the big idea. If God is so good, why do so many bad things happen? They did a nationwide survey recently, and they said, if you got to ask God one question, what would the question be? Number one question was, God, why do you allow so much pain and suffering? And this is a personal question, and it can be a public question as well. All of a sudden, a family member gets cancer. You get the phone call, and all of a, it's personal. It's painful. How come, God? Why? It'd be a public level. So you know, another shooting happens at a school or a theater, and you're just like, God, what's up with these people? Or your parents get divorced, and now it's personal again. You just be cruising through life. Everything's going fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, these storms that's happening out in North Carolina just ripping it apart, and you're just like, God, what? Enough. You have the power. Make it stop. When is the last time you experienced something, maybe personally, or you saw something publicly, and you're like, God, come on. Why? It's personal, and it's public. And the Bible it at least gives some context to this whole thing. And it's in your notes. Let me read you a part of it. It says, the Lord is not being slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He doesn't anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change their ways and stop sinning. So the context to the whole thing is that suffering sometimes goes on and on because it's an extension of God's patience. And the motivation behind it is he doesn't want anybody to miss their chance, to lose their chance, to see something happen in their life, the change to happen in their life. And we'll look at some different things today that hopefully will give a picture of what the patience looks like. Why is the patience important to us? This number one, you can just jot in your notes, we don't have the goods to be the final judge. That's the big question, by the way. Can I trust God to make the final call when it comes to suffering? Because so often I don't agree with him. I mean, it seems like he has all the power and he loves me. God could make anything stop. And, you know, I oftentimes am questioning his judgment, his patience, the length of time that he's allowing it to go on. I don't know if you're like this, but I'm like this. I kind of see God like he has an easy button. And he could just push it anytime he wants and my life would get easier. Someone else's life I love would get easier. And so it's like, God, why don't you push the button? I mean, it's really hard right now, God. If you would just push the button, God.
That was easy.
That's how I want to live. I mean, why aren't you pushing the button, God? And yet think for a moment if you were in charge of the button for one day. And if you pushed the button, it got easier. All the pain and suffering went away. And it was your day to be in charge of the button. But could you push the button if you saw one of your children causing pain? Have your parents ever hurt you? Have you ever worked with someone and you were so incredibly angry at them and furious at them, and then 2 days later you're hanging out at the pub? If you were in charge of the button for a day, has your spouse or your boyfriend ever made you so mad or hurt you? But wouldn't you hesitate before you push the button? And if I would hesitate, I'm just a person. If I was in charge of the button, there's plenty of pain and suffering I would see, but I would hold off. I wouldn't push the button. Maybe that's how God sees it. Maybe he has his reasons, too, why he's not pushing the button. Because it's easy to just say, well, push the button, God. But if I was in charge of the button, I don't think I would push it every time, would you? There's a place in the Bible that sort of speaks to it. This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. It does come down to, on the issue of pain and suffering, is who do I trust to be in charge of the button? C.S. Lewis, a great author, and he was Christian, he said this: if God is wiser than we, it's not in your notes, but you'll see it up here, his judgments must differ from ours on many things, and not least on good and evil. What seems to us good may therefore not be good in God's eyes, and what seems to us evil may not be evil. He has a completely different perspective on the button. Back in Jewish history, there was a person, his name was Job, and some of his life was written down, and they put it in the Bible. And they put the part in the Bible about where he really struggled and went through some very difficult times. His finances, his family, his health, you name it, this guy went through it. And he saw other people in his family go through it too. And he gets into a discussion with God about pain and suffering and pushing the button. He's like, God, I've had enough already. You know, like, when are you going to push the button, God? I mean, he's questioning God's timetable on suffering and pain and how much he's allowing and who has to go through pain. He's questioning all this. And in this dialogue that they're having, God says something to Job. And buckle up, because God's not a wimp. So let me read it to you. It'll come on in back of us. God, you should be pushing the button. I know better than you. Here's God to Job. Who are you to question my wisdom with your ignorant, empty words? Were you there when I made the world? Job, have you ever in all your life commanded a day to dawn? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like his? It's almost like God's trying to say to Job, Job, you don't want the job. You can't carry the responsibility. You'll push it at the wrong time. When it should be pushed, you won't push it. You won't be able to, your heart cannot withstand what it is to be the button pusher. You need me to handle that one, Job. I've got the goods. You don't. You don't want to be in charge of pain and suffering. And that's where it begins with God. And if you're hurting today, or you know someone that's hurting today, kind of where it begins is being able to step back and say, okay, you're in charge of the button, God. I don't have the goods for that one. I'm trusting you and your patience on how you're working it out in my life, because someone has to be in charge of it, and I have to trust someone. Now, what's the point of it? It's the second thing in your outline. You can read, God uses pain as part of our renovation process. Another snippet out of Jewish history in their main cities, or their New York cities, like, is Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem been around forever and ever. And at one of its rough patches where there was a lot of violence, nobody was worshiping or even interested in God. Everybody was out for themselves. Making the most money was the most important thing. Families were flying apart. It was just an absolute mess. And all this pain and suffering is going on. And it doesn't seem to be changing anything. People just keep doing the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. They hurt more and more and more. Communities continue to unravel, and they just keep doing the same things. And God steps in at one point, and here's what he says to the entire community of Jerusalem. It's in your notes. But now take another look. It's awesome when God says that. He says, step back. I'm going to show you how I see things. Are you hurting right now? Hurt causes pain, anger. Could you hear God this morning say, let me show you how I see it? I mean, in a real sense, could you let him just come and put his arm around you and say, hey, let's look at this together. And then here's what he shows them. I'm going to give the city a thorough renovation, working a true healing inside and out. I'm going to show them whole life, life brimming with blessings. I'll restore everything that was lost to Judah and Jerusalem. I'll build everything back as good as new. I don't know if this is the way it is in your house, but in my house, Clarice has her shows that she watches, and I have my shows that I watch, and they don't ever touch. They're very different, you know. She's got her TV shows and the stuff that she likes to watch, and I have the stuff that I like to watch, and I don't know if this has ever happened. Let me talk to the guys just for a minute. Maybe this has happened to you. It happened to me. Like, she's watching TV, and she's watching her shows, okay? And I'm wandering through, and I see the TV, and I instantly know, oh, that's one of her shows. But something about the show catches my attention for just a moment. And I find myself interested in one of her shows for just a second. I'm just like, oh, okay. And you're just kind of watching, and everything inside of you, like your man card, is yelling at you, get out of the room. That's her shows. You know, that's not a man show. You know, but you're getting drawn in a little more and more and more and more. That happened to me recently. She's watching this show called Fixer Upper. And it's this show about this couple that lives in Texas, and they find people that pick out these houses and these old dilapidated rundown houses, and they turn them into just like this dream home. You know, I'm watching this thing sort of unfold, and the next thing you know, I'm on the couch and I'm watching the TV show, I'm watching one of her shows, because it was interesting, the approach to it. This couple, they'll go out and they'll pick this house and they do a renovation. Now, when you renovate something, you don't come in with the bulldozers and just blast it away and then start from scratch. That's not how it works. You use what's there. And that's what God was saying in this part of the Bible. Jerusalem, I'm going to use what's there. And there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of dysfunction, and there's a ton of anger, and I'm going to use it. It's amazing. I mean, they come in and they just redo these houses completely. And it's so different, and the revamp is so major. I thought, man, if these houses could talk, they would say, that hurt. It's painful. It is painful to have your foundation dug up and rebuilt in a straight, firm way. It's painful to be rewired. It's painful to have your walls knocked down, so you can live in a greater space. Renovation's painful, and I'm not talking about houses. It hurts. And oftentimes, it's the painful things that come my way, or the painful things that other people have caused, that God harnesses. And the problem is, and if you're like me, you don't like to go through pain. Pain for me are sort of like bugs and spiders. I don't like them. So someone comes to my house every single month and sprays all around my house, so the bugs and spiders, I don't have to deal with the bugs and spiders. And if any bugs and spiders survive that, I have a can of bug spray to keep the bugs and spiders away. You know, I think I live that life when it comes to pain. It's like I have my own little can. And in this little can, it's my pain spray. And anytime I see pain sort of coming my way, I just give it a couple shots. Because I don't like it. I don't want to go through the hurt, the renovation process. I just want the new house, God. You know, and some of us, we travel around, this is in our hand all the time. I mean, somebody even just looks at us wrong and it's double spray. I'm going to make sure you don't hurt me. And they weren't even thinking about you. They just had a weird look on their face. So everywhere we go, we've got this right here. And it pushes away the very suffering and pain that I need to go through to be healed and changed. The things that cause me the most pain change when I'm experiencing the pain from them. The thief cannot be healed from stealing until it's in the moment where it wants to steal. And that's how pain works. Now, let me make sure we understand something. I'm not saying God is a puppet master and he's up there orchestrating life to cause bad things so he can use it to heal me and renovate. That's not God. God does not need tremendous tragedies to display his tremendous love and grace. He's not pushing all kinds of bad things. He's not creating and orchestrating bad things. We live in a broken world. There's plenty of things for God to use. If we just take my choices alone, I give him plenty of stuff to work with. Sometimes the way people view God is, you made this happen. I can't trust God if he's going to play games with me. If he's going to make a whole bunch of bad things happen to take me through it so I can be better, that's not renovation. Renovation is when God walks right in the middle of it with all the pain and all the hurt and asks me if I'll hand him the can. Will you let me be the one that helps you with your pain and hurt? Because as you allow it to come into your life, we can renovate things and make it different. How firmly have you got this gripped? Now, sometimes it's just with certain people. We know we're going to see somebody at a family gathering and we're fine, but before we leave, we pack two of these on both hips. Or sometimes it's just like the last 2 hours of the workday. You know, and we pull this out, we're like, I'm tired, I'm hungry, and we everywhere we go, we got this. And God's wanting to do something in our life at that time. And I keep it all away. Would you be willing to hand him this? Would you be willing to trust his patience? He doesn't want you to lose your chance for a changed life. Because pain is at the center of my renovation. Now here's the next thing, and write it in your notes. We can reach out with compassion and understanding. What's the point, God? There's a friend of mine that's about my age, and I just love him to death, and he's an addict. And he has cycled through various different substances or things that he has been addicted to. And part of his healing is that which he is addicted to becomes less destructive to him and his family. And he's changing as an addict, but it's not over yet. But what he's addicted to is causing less problems. And I love this guy. And the stuff that he gets addicted to now sometimes can be kind of like super funny. Like his current addiction is a certain type of candy. He's got that candy with him all the time. And he eats that candy like crazy. And people tease him about it. They think it's so funny. But I have something different for him. I don't tease him. I know what it is to be addicted. I know what it is to be around addicted people in my family. And I know what it is for God to heal me, comfort me, and get me to the other side of it. I have something different for him because I can relate to him. A compassion for him. I'm proud of him, actually. When you go through pain, I have discovered this about my own journey filled with pain. It is wonderful to trust God and say, you've got it, you've got the button. It's amazing to have the renovation process occur. But the cycle becomes complete. Where it's the absolute richest is when my renovation fuels someone else's renovation. When I'm able to go to someone and say, listen, God's got this with you. He can get you through it. He got me through it. The greatest thing is when you can go to someone and say, listen, and by the way, I don't want anybody to watch my life. I don't know about yours, but I don't want anybody to watch my life and think to themselves, you know, the things they see. Oh, that all happens because he goes to church or because he's religious. And that is not what I have to offer. I'm hoping to be with someone, be able to point to him and say, listen, God gave me tremendous comfort when I was an addict. And he got me through it. I discovered a power that I didn't think was possible. Look what the Bible says. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we're able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. It's a great thing to be healed and renovated. It's a great thing to see change happen, but there's a completion in it. It's even richer when my healing is used to cause someone else heal. When the way I've been comforted can then go out. We live near one of the most amazing bodies of water on our planet, the Great Salt Lake. And you probably know this, that there's fresh water that flows into the Great Salt Lake like every other lake. But the reason it's nearly dead and filled with salt is no fresh water flows out of it. It's a great thing. God, you're healing me. I'm renovated. But real life happens when it goes out. Some of the things I look back in my life that are the hardest to understand make sense now, and I can actually say they're valuable because now God's using them to help someone else. That's when it gets good. It's like, okay, I had to go through that, but at least now I can see it causing something beyond me. What have you been through? And you're just glad to have gotten through it. God has something more for you. What you went through, what he helped you through, can be the very thing that someone else needs. I love being with my friend, the addict. I love sitting with him and telling him, "Say, hey, you're getting closer all the time. How do you know? I've been there." But how do I know God's on my side? I've been there. Here's the bottom line. You can write it in your notes. We trust God to convert our pain into praise. And what does praise look like? Well, like what we did today, you sing songs, you lift your hands. It's great to sing songs, but that's not just it. Here, let's read about it. "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good." One of the advantages of pain, it brings me closer to God. "I've made the Lord God my place of safety, and God," now he's talking to God, "and God, I will tell about all that you have done." That's praise. It's when you've been on the greatest vacation and for a week you can't stop talking about it. I don't know who your favorite team is today, but they win, and on Monday morning you can't talk about it. You're just like, "Whoa, my team won." It's like when you find the perfect girl or your baby's born, you just can't keep talking about it. That's what this person is saying. You know, the way God has got me through, I just talk about that everywhere I go. I just tell people, "This is amazing," because they sure need to hear it. Can you imagine how different it would be? We always give a couple minutes to process and think a bit. So if you're sort of processing through your own pain or someone else's pain, are you willing to let him be in charge of the button? Renovation means at some point I hand him this. And it really gets good when other people start to benefit from it.